to the chamber on. And how do you do that? We're 6 seconds, point eight, point three, everything you got. Everything you got. Turn that shit up. Let's go. Let's go.
Welcome to the Scoop World Order. We got a transfer portal tackle edition. This is a day that Ohio State fans have been waiting for. They're excited about. So we're going to tell you all about Victor Cutler, our newest tackle guard, potential guy to play this year for Justin Fry. Excited about his addition. Sending a ton of guys to go kiss and make up with Jaden Davis this Friday. Excited about that. I think that he's a guy that potentially could be our 2024 quarterback after the Dylan Raiola mishap where he decommitted from us. So I think we might end up being better in the long run if we get Jaden Davis. So I'm excited about that. So we're going to get into all that. We're going to take your questions. As always, we appreciate you guys so much. You guys have no idea. We talk about our support, how we're growing. It's all because of you guys. So thank you so much. If you enjoy our content, please leave us a like. That is so huge for us. It's a little thumbs up in the corner. Click subscribe. If you enjoy our live shows where we take your questions, we really enjoy doing this. Click the little bell. You'll get a notification anytime our content pops up. So you'll get it on your iPad, your computer, your iPhone, your smart TV, whatever you like to watch us on. We appreciate you guys as always. Thank you so much. We are going to be on BuckeyeScoop.com all night. We've been going crazy on it. Our site is growing like crazy. So thank you guys who have been signing up and subscribing. It is the best spot for the biggest Ohio State fans. We have some great information coming, some coaching staff stuff coming, a lot of dominoes falling there. So we will be breaking news for you guys on BuckeyeScoop.com. With that being said, going to bring in my good friend, Nevada Buck. Nevada, how are you tonight?
Doing great. Transfer portal tackle comes to Ohio State. This is a big day, man. This is transfer portal tackle day at BuckeyeScoop.com and rejoicing throughout the seven kingdoms of Ohio State land for sure.
Oh, absolutely. What's up? We got Chris, we got Sue, Eric, we got the normal crew coming in. Thank you guys for joining us. I agree big time. I think that, you know, we needed some depth pieces. This is a kid who'll probably start off second team. He's played both tackles and played guard. 6'3", 302, over 20 starts. So that's a nice add. Last year against Alabama and Texas allowed, I believe, zero sacks. So, and that is, you know, for people that don't know, Victor Cutler played at Louisiana Monroe, a kid who played early. He's got 2 years of eligibility left, so we'll probably have him for the next 2 years, starting playing for Ohio State, significant minutes. And, you know, when you're at one of these schools like Louisiana Monroe and you got to go play at Tuscaloosa and also at Austin, play Texas, play Bama, that is not always fun because you're pass blocking a lot because your team's going to be behind for most of the game. Usually behind big, you know, you're going to be down 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. So you're going to get a workout in and you're going to be going against Will Anderson, not going to have any help. So I think that, you know, he put some infrastructure on this kid. It'll be interesting to see where Justin Fry puts him. I imagine 6'3", probably put him in at guard. So you could potentially have, you know, Donnie, him, Matt Jones, Enoch, and Josh Fryer as your starting offensive line. And then you've got guys that all have starts. So I think that's fantastic for what we're trying to get done. To have five guys that have started in college football games is huge. And even if he's just a depth piece, it's always nice to have a guy that can push people at multiple positions because he can play tackle and guard, and he can play left and right. So he can basically play four of the spots. I don't think he's played center, but I think that he's got the talent and the speed. He's a nice athlete. I watched this film. We're going to throw his film on for you guys so you can watch him a little bit. But, you know, Nevada, you know, your thoughts on adding a depth piece. You know, I think sometimes, you know, with the portal guys, it's always interesting. You're either going to get a guy from a bigger school, like we broke down Jacob Hood yesterday, who's a 3-star tackle from Georgia, 6'8", 350. You're going to get guys like that maybe went to a big program and haven't played, if underperformed, or you're going to get a guy like Victor, who has got 22 starts and he's, you know, got a couple years under his belt, but it's outside of a smaller program. So Nevada, which of those do you prefer? Because I think I know where I'm leaning, but where would you lean in terms of, you know, a more veteran guy at a smaller program or a guy from a bigger program who hasn't played at all?
Well, I'd go with the old, why not both, you know? I just think that when you think of it this way, if we recruited a kid out of high school any kid out of high school. Just pick a kid, pick a high school. Then you really don't know what you have. You got to develop him. You're hoping to get a couple of good years out of him before he goes to the NFL, before he transfers, or you know what the scenario might be. In this case, you've got a kid who's clearly a development player, but he's already got 20-plus college starts under his belt. And if he comes to Ohio State, all he's got to be is better than some of the worst guys in your room. And then you've upgraded the talent in your room, and it's a net positive for you. The downsides are really, really low because you haven't guaranteed anybody a starting spot. I don't think you've destroyed the culture. I mean, it's really no different than bringing in an incoming high school freshman. So from my standpoint, there's only upside to a move like this. When you watch the tape, I mean, look, he moves pretty well. I mean, he's certainly not sedentary. He certainly seems, relatively light on his feet. That's got good punch. Who's to say that in a cup with one more year under Ohio State strength and conditioning program and in our system that by his last year of eligibility that he couldn't be a solid producer for Ohio State. So no, I like the move. I think it's a good depth move. There's just no downside to it. And I like moves that only have upside and no downside. So, you do that enough times in your life and you're going to end up on the net positive side for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. Super chat. Appreciate you, DW. Does this mean they don't pursue Jacob Wood? I don't think it does. I think if I'm Justin Fry, I'm trying to stack bodies. If you're Justin, you took that room over. And with the addition of the transfer portal, you have the ability to flip these rooms faster. And by flip, it means, if there's guys that you don't think can play or guys that you think maybe this is too high of a level for them, you could politely ask them to hit the portal and go elsewhere. And then you could bring in guys, again, like we liken it to playing poker, where if you could keep throwing your cards back until you get a royal flush, that's kind of what you can do with your room. I think that after spring ball, there's going to be an exodus from Ohio State. And this isn't because I have any sort of, crystal ball, but it's just, that's just kind of how it is. Kids, Bryson Shaw took off after he saw that he really wasn't going to be in the plans with what Jim Knowles said. There's some guys that they'll go through spring ball, they'll be disgruntled, they won't like their role in the offense or their reps or what their projected role is for the 2023 Buckeyes, and they'll hit the portal. And that's not an Ohio State thing, because Bama lost a lot of guys, Georgia lost a lot of guys. It's just a big-time college football, big-time recruits or guys that maybe aren't panning out to the degree that they expected to pan out, and they hit the portal to go look for a more advantageous situation. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that if I was a young guy and I thought I had talent and my dream was to play in the NFL, you can't sit around on the sideline for 5 years and graduate and run out on senior day with zero career starts and expect to play in the NFL. I mean, it's Nate Ebner's the only guy that's ever done that, and Nate's a different beast. But most of these guys, like, you got to go play somewhere. And like when Ryan Jacoby took off, it hurt our depth tremendously because he'd probably be our starting tackle this year. But at the same token, he's been starting at Pitt for 2 years now. So he's already trending towards, at least having a shot at making an NFL team and having a shot at getting jobs, because he's going to be a multi-year letter winner, multi-year starter at Pittsburgh. So that's kind of what it is. But I think you just keep recruiting these guys. I think that the hardest part about a kid like Jacob Hood is, when you're listed at 6'8", 350, are you still 350 or are you 390 now? Because like those guys that are big and you look at photos of them from high school, there's a lot of baggage on there. And, has he been able to whittle some of that down, or has it gotten bigger? Because that's the hard part, is like some of these kids, when they don't play and they don't travel and they stay home on the weekends, man, these guys can blow up like balloons. I've seen guys that I saw, we had a guy gain 30 pounds in a week at Ohio State. And that's like, you'd have to be like doing every eating challenge known to man to do that. But it's happened before. And some of these guys can't put the spoon down. So I'd love to get him on a scale and see how he looks today versus what he looked like in his recruiting photo from, a year and a half ago. So, Nevada, do you think that we still continue to upgrade the offensive line room on top of the addition of Victor Cutler?
Well, I think you certainly attempt to try. Think for Ohio State, it's going to continue on, through the spring evaluation period and through the spring transfer portal period. And again, I just think it's college football in 2023. And as a fan, I think we just have to get used to it and accept it as kind of just a natural part of the game. It's kind of foreign to us. And before, when stuff like this happened, it was indicative of, is there a culture problem? Is there a problem in the room? Are people unhappy? Should that position coach be fired? Do we not have talent? What's the problem? And now I think people have to just look at it differently to say, look, this is just the way that you do business now. And for Ohio State, you know, I think they've got to be just looking at the bottom two or three guys in the room and say, hey, if they don't believe that there's a clear path to them contributing, you know, it's in the foreseeable future, that, like you said, they encourage them to look elsewhere, find a place where they may have an opportunity to play, to develop, and they go out and they continue to try to look for guys that can improve the room. That's the only way that you're going to get better. That's the only way that Ohio State's going to continue to stay at the top. And Ohio State's responding to this new reality. So I applaud it, but I expect there'll be more of it, and it'll be an ongoing process all the way up to fall ball.
Yeah, I think it's just like the NFL now. I mean, the NFL, you know, when you're in a position room, every week in the NFL, they're trying to upgrade the room. You know, if there's a guy on a practice squad somewhere that they can snag, if there's a guy that's a street free agent that they can snag. You know, it's, when I was in the league, I mean, when I was with the Miami Dolphins, you know, they were a bad team and they were bringing in 20 to 30 guys every Tuesday and having tryouts, like literally like guys, you know, that were cut from teams or guys that were, and it, you know, it's not like it's like bums off the streets of Miami. It's like good players coming in, trying out. It's like an NFL combine. You got to do the 40, 225. And it was wild, man. Cause like for like three straight weeks, I had like a locker to the left and a locker to the right, and both names flipped every week. So I would walk in and be like, who are you? It's like, oh, but so that's kind of college football. It's kind of getting more towards that. And again, I don't mind it because I've been around teammates that had been beaten out by younger players. I've been around guys that were basically stuck back in the olden days, the pre-transfer portal days. And they're miserable. Like guys that, like, you know, they come in as four-star guys, Army All-Americans, and they get beat out by a guy who's a year younger or 2 years younger, and then they never play. Like, I think a lot of those guys, you know, from my era, I was kind of go back, like, how many of those guys would have transferred out? I was like, a bunch of them probably would have. And again, I don't fault them, because ultimately when people go to play college football, they want to play somewhere. And if for whatever reason it doesn't work at Ohio State and you can go to Pittsburgh or Penn State or Michigan State or Purdue or wherever, or Alabama, like whatever works for you. Like, again, J-Mo is probably the greatest instance of all time, because he left Ohio State as the number three receiver, goes to Bama, should have won the Blitnikoff and went first round. So, you know, it's not always, you know, oh, woe is me, I stink. It's like, sometimes, no, it's like, I have the talent, but I need, you know, the situation. Because, you know, if J-Mo, as good as he was for Bama, he still was our number three behind Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. And I'm not saying that, like, we have that type of star power right now on the O-line, but, like, sometimes, you know, these guys, if they go and they show out, like Ryan Jacoby gets drafted mid to late round, you know, in a year, then they'd be like, yeah, that was a good decision to go and be a 3-year starter at Pitt than it was to be a 5th-year senior starter at Ohio State. So I'm going to warm up a little bit of film. So this is our boy. This is Victor. Victor Cutler. We got a couple things. Big shout out to Victor Cutler, because one thing, if any of you guys, and I know none of our people that watch the show are getting into the transfer portal, he actually put his highlight tape on YouTube. So that made it super easy to find. So most of these guys, like, finding film, it's kind of like finding the Lost City of Atlantis. But, you know, with this kid, he actually had it, you know, ready to go. So this is him versus Texas. Again, when you're evaluating these kids, sometimes it's the movement skills. It's not necessarily the talent. But when you're playing Texas and Bama, you get a little bit. So he's out here at left tackle. Easy vertical set, good stop, balls out fast. So, you know, again, I like the movement. He's not all over the place. He looks like he's been coached. So we'll take that. And then here's big bad Bama. Bama's, you know, we've got my all-time favorite player right here in Nevada. You remember number 10 for Bama, Henry To'o, my hero. Shout out to his dad. Led me astray a little bit, but... Papa. It's a blast from the past. Papa said, we're moving to Columbus. And then, hey, I think we're getting a kid. Nope. Goes to Bama. So, hey, you got to learn your lesson when you're green in the recruiting game like I was. So, but no, again, yeah, this is against the best team in America. Field pressure, easy. And again, like, you know, his guard next to him isn't very good. He gets beat. You know, now, granted, this is Bama, so I know. But, you know, you imagine that being Donnie next to him and, and you got Mayan back here. You know, it makes your life a lot easier when you play with good players. So a lot, like I said, a lot of this is a good, easy reach block. Again, talent isn't great, but, you know, you see the speed, the hands, again, like, and he's got 20 starts. So I love the cut block. That's great. But I love, here, clears it out. So, I don't know. I like the film. I think that he's got upside. And again, here's the thing that matters, because it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Justin Fry thinks. And Justin went on this kid. So, hey, you know, I'm good with it. Here is against Texas again. Not a lot of run stuff. These teams, usually when you're playing one of these teams, you're kind of a sacrificial lamb playing Texas or Bama. You're usually not going to run the ball much because you're usually losing. But I think that, you know, here he gets to the second level. Good combination block. Again, it gives me more comfort when you see him reaching here, ceiling. I mean, that's something we do this all the time. Q run, which again, this is hard to defend. If they get this down guy done, like if this guard, again, this guard's, you know, he's not great, but if he gets that done, this is a walk-in touchdown. There's nobody there. But I don't know. I like his film. Like I think that, you know, in terms of upgrading the room, I think he does that. I think that when you're looking for new guys here, puts them on the ground on a Q draw. Again, we love quarterback runs because look at how easy this is. Like, I mean, you literally, the O-line blocks, they block guys for about 2 seconds, and then the QB takes off for, what, a first down, 10 yards. But yeah, like I said, the movement skills look good. I mean, he's got feet to play tackle. Now, is he going to play tackle here? I don't know. I mean, I imagine if I was Justin, I'd put him here. He's 59, so you put 59, you put 74. I don't know if you put Jacob James in here, you put Enoch, you put Fryer, 70. And I think you're fine. You know, here is this Jacob James? Is this Matt? Is it 55 or is this 55? But I think that's the makings of something to start. And then here, you know, you also have Zen. You have Zen Mikulski, who, you know, that's a guy that lettered. He was a guy that was on field goal last year, so he earned a letter. But again, I just like bringing in competition for these positions, because, you know, the only guys that you could really write an ink are Donnie and Matt Jones. The rest of the guys, you know, I would say Josh Fryer is probably close to being an ink at right tackle. But, you know, you look at right guard, and then if you play Donnie at left guard or left tackle, that's going to be kind of the $1 million question. I would imagine that you put Victor out at left tackle a little bit, you put Donnie out at left tackle a little bit, put Zen at left tackle, and just figure out the best combination. And then, you know, this kid, you put him in at right guard, put him at left guard, you know, with Enoch. And I think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to flip this back on, and we're going to go, I'm going to get some Jaden Davis up in a second. Nevada, what do you think so far? Watch a little bit of film. You know, initial thoughts on our new offensive lineman, Victor Cutler.
Well, I think people just, you know, don't get caught up on this. You know, I've read the inevitable complaints where they're like, oh, you know, he gave up 8 sacks. Oh, he just, but, you know, I just think a lot of that is you know, a subject to, you know, when you have players next to you that aren't quite as good as, you know, what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, yourself, if you're playing with a bad guard, when you're playing a tackle, then, you know, sometimes that can lead to poor results for you. You know what I'm saying? So I think for a player like that, yeah, I just think he's going to come in. We're going to see what he's going to do. And if he can play, if he can't play, then he'll probably be sent out down the road in 12 months anyway. But I'll take a guy with 20 starts from just about anywhere. And like you said, seems light on his feet enough. Seems like he's, he's certainly a more sure bet than any, you know, high school player that's never played college football before. And, you know, you've got tape on him playing against Texas and, you know, tape of him playing against Alabama. So, you know, you're going to be able to give him a fair evaluation based on that. And they did it. They looked at it and they decided to offer him. So that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Like I said, is this a guy that you pencil in as a starter? I mean, you got to get him in our program, see how he does in conditioning, see how he does in the weight room. You know, see how he does in spring ball. I mean, spring ball is obviously going to be huge for him. I think for a kid like this, you know, winter conditioning is going to be huge for him, because these, you know, these smaller schools, they still work really hard in the winter and the summer and during all their conditioning work. It's just, you know, it's just not at the level of Ohio State where you've got the resources. Like at Ohio State, you know, a kid like this could, you know, he's all of a sudden he's going to have a nutritionist and he's got Mickey Marotti and he's going to have all these amenities. And does he really take advantage of it? Like at Ohio State, if you don't end up being good, it's really on you because there, you don't have any excuses. You've got, you know, like I said, you have every possible advantage, you know, in, like I said, in terms of nutrition, the weight room, cold plunge, hot tub, you know, and again, that sounds like weird stuff, but it's like when you can continuously take care of your body, you have great training staff, they have every gizmo known to man. They have an underwater treadmill. They've got an anti-gravity treadmill. So, you know, you can condition yourself in about every way imaginable, and take care of your body. So, you know, not every place has that. Like an underwater treadmill costs about $280,000 to install. So, you know, most of these schools don't have one of those. We've got two of them. So I always look at it like when these kids go to high school, I'm like, look, you know, if you want to get strong, you can get strong. You want to get fast, you can get fast. If you want to, you know, work out twice a day, you can do it because you've got the therapy stuff that can help you there. Because I, you know, again, like we've got really, really good equipment. We've got good people, great strength coaches. So it'll be interesting to see if he enhances his strength at all when he's here, because he's just, you know, he's a guy that's been at a lesser program. Now they're a good program. I think they're, you know, for their level, they're really good, but it's just not the same as being at Ohio State. Do you, we're going to talk some Jaden Davis now. So we are sending the convoy out to kiss and make up with Jaden Davis, which I think is fascinating. You know, Jaden Davis was a guy that, when we were at camp 2 years ago, I was there with Bank and we talked to Jaden, and really nice kid. He was the guy, he was a young kid, projected to be the quarterback in the 2024 class. Like everyone believed that like Ohio State was going to get him. He's a star, you know, 4.5, 5-ish star type guy. And so, you know, up through the season, really the 2021 season, you know, we're still thinking Jaden Davis. And then all of a sudden from like January to April of 2022, there was this big surge for Dylan Raiola. And Dylan Raiola was a kid that I believe he went to the Michigan game, and he might've gone to Michigan, or no, I believe he went to the Michigan State game in 21. Cause obviously Michigan was up. It was up there in 21, but he went to that game and not a lot of fanfare. You know, I talked to Dominic and he said, yeah, we're coming in for the game. And, you know, when he came, it wasn't like, oh my God, Dylan Raiola's coming in. It was like, oh, Dylan Raiola, quarterback from, you know, Arizona is visiting. And but it wasn't like, holy cow, we've got Dylan Raiola on campus. So it was interesting. So he kind of ascends and becomes this supernova prospect, number one overall, 5-star, highest rated guy in history. And it was really tough because, you know, Jaden Davis was a kid that I think was, we were the favorites, we were in the lead, and it's kind of like, you know, when you've got that good girl, that friend that's with you, and then all of a sudden you dump her for something that you think's a little bit better, and then, you know, you kind of jump in with them, and then all of a sudden they dump you for whatever reason. You know, I don't know, you know, I have my theories on what went wrong with Dylan Raiola. I think I know what went wrong with Dylan Raiola and why it went so bad so fast after it was all lovey-dovey and he was wearing Ohio State stuff and he was the quote-unquote leader of the 2024 class. But, you know, when they were coming down to the spring ball, you know, I mean, the Raiolas had been up here 2 or 3 times during spring ball. And then the week of the spring game, I talked to them and I said, are you guys coming in for the spring game? They said, no. Then the next hour, they're like, yeah, we are coming in. And I was like, I wonder what changed. And it turned out that, you know, Jaden Davis was coming to the spring game potentially to commit and be the 2024 quarterback. So then, you know, the Raiolas come flying in and, Ohio State basically tells Jaden Davis not to come. And then the Raiolas basically silently commit to Ohio State. Then a few months later, they publicly commit with he did a little ceremony at his church. But it was just weird because, you know, with quarterbacks, it's so temperamental and it's so, you can only take one. And, you know, some of the demands were, you know, okay, in 23, we're not going to take a 5-star kid. We're not going to take a showstopper. Because in 24, the table will be set for you, Dylan. So, you know, that's why we kind of slow played quarterbacks. We end up Lincoln Keenholz, who was a kid out of South Dakota, who I think is actually going to be really good. But, you know, we weren't in hot pursuit of the top three or four quarterbacks like we normally are in the cycle because of Dylan. So because, you know, we said we won't go after a big name in 23 so that when you come in 24, it's kind of the table set. You know, you're going to have a guy that you can compete with and potentially easily beat out, which, again, I don't like that strategy. And I think Ryan Day learned a valuable lesson from that strategy, is as in, don't ever do that again and just go out and get the best quarterback you can every single year. But, you know, when families are kind of making demands and people are saying, oh, this is going to be how we're going to do it and how we're going to situate it, it's kind of like defusing a bomb, because, you know, all of a sudden you make the wrong move, the kid leaves, and then all of a sudden, you know, you told every other quarterback in 23 and 24 to buzz off because Dylan's your guy. It's weird. And so now we're sending Brian Hartline, Ryan Day, the janitor, the plumber, you know, the athletic, and we're sending everybody we can out to meet with Jaden Davis on Friday to try and rectify the situation, which I think is smart, because, you know, he was the guy initially that we were going to get, we thought we were going to get, felt really good about him. He's a fantastic player, but now potential Michigan lean, but Michigan's got a lot of stuff going on up north right now. I like where we're positioned at. If you're a quarterback and you're in that 24 class and you can throw to Jeremiah Smith, who's been, he's the new class leader. He's the guy that's leading that 24 class. And then you have Ennis and Tate. I mean, it's about as an attractive of an offer and a spot as you can be in compared to anywhere else in the nation. Because, you know, if I'm a quarterback and I can throw to JJ, Brandon Ennis, and Tate, then that's where I'm going, because those are three guys that are potential first round picks, with JJ, I think, being the best of all three of them. Nevada, your thoughts on the situation? It's been strange. It's been a long, strange trip. And I'm going to click on some Jaden Davis films so we can just kind of talk over it. But your thoughts on the quarterback recruiting and kind of the delicate balance that these coaches have to deal with these quarterbacks and these families?
Yeah, what I'll say is, if they're able to secure the commitment from Jaden Davis after having blown Jaden Davis off, then this is one of the great recruiting jobs of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was unpleasant. I mean, what happened before was really not super awesome. And to be able to get back in on a kid like that, you know, I'm not saying it's unprecedented, but it hasn't happened a lot where things, you know, for a high profile kid like this to be ready to go, to have someone else kind of beat him to the table. He gets cast aside, and then they swoop back in at the last minute on him. We'll see, you know, and we'll see. Like I said, they're certainly, you know, pulling out all the stops. They're sending, you know, they're sending Bruce the Buckeye. And, you know, they're sending John Cooper. They're sending, you know, Jim Trussell. They're sending the whole gang down there to try to get them back in the fold. But no, it's tough, because in any position where you have only one person playing, you know, it's hard. And I really have a lot of empathy for quarterbacks, because you want to know who the other quarterbacks are that are, you know, in the class. Are there other quarterbacks? Because you can only take one. It's a lot like, you know, goalie in hockey or some other positions where only one person plays at a time. It's tough. And I think this one's going to be, is going to take every bit of Ryan Day's recruiting prowess to pull it off. And if he does, I'm just going to tip my hat to him, because Jaden Davis is a heck of a player. You would love to have him in the 2024 class, but, you know, if we don't, we'll find somebody else, but we'd sure like to get him, because I know he's the guy that they want to get as well. So we'll all find out here soon enough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And again, quarterback is a different beast from pretty much any position in sports. I mean, goalie I could see, but, you know, even goalies, rotate to a degree, but quarterback, man, it is like, there's so much money at stake. There's so much pressure to be three and out and onto the NFL. There's so much, you know, going on. Again, because, you know, we've lost Quinn Ewers, who was the number one overall quarterback, generational talent, highest rated guy in the history of the composite. Dylan Raiola is kind of, you know, the same thing. I honestly don't think Dylan's as good as Quinn was, but he, you know, he's number one across all three services, consensus number one, five-star, you know, kind of a drop everything kind of player. And it's just, you know, it's weird, because when you, you know, throw in with a kid like that, you have to make concessions. You have to say, okay, we're not going to go after a five-star kid in 23. We're not gonna, we're gonna kind of lessen the competition for you. And I'm not saying Dylan, because I met Dylan, really nice kid. Like, I mean, he's a really nice kid. So this isn't me going hard on him, but you know, somewhere things went sour. And I honestly think it's because we went after Drake May in the transfer portal, because that was the only thing. I got that one. It lined up with everything. It doesn't make sense because Drake May is going to be gone after next year. So you'd think that would be actually better for Dylan, because everybody would transfer out if that kid came in. But, you know, I think that it wasn't so much that we got Drake May as much as, you know, I could see Ryan Day. You know, Ryan loves going after transfer portal guys. He loves going after quarterbacks that are high draw guys. Because, again, you know, you got to remember, when we went after potentially Drake May, after that Michigan game, man, there were some – it was a lot of smoke, man. People were upset with Ryan Day. And, you know, he's got to win next year. He can't wait around for Dylan Raiola to show up in 2024 and be a freshman. Like, you know, we got a big schedule coming up. We got to go to Wisconsin, to Michigan. Penn State's going to be good. We get them at home, but we got to go to Notre Dame. Like, this is going to be a juggernaut of a schedule that we're going to play. And you know, if you can go out and enhance your quarterback room and get Drake May to throw to Marvin and Emeka, you do it. I mean, I think that when you're Ohio State and you're Ryan Day, I don't fault him for trying to upgrade the team at every position possible. Like, if I was starting right tackle and he could go out and sign Orlando Pace to play right tackle over me, I would be like, I'm good with that, coach. I'll sit here and eat popcorn and watch Orlando play in my spot, because then I know that we're going to be better. And again, that might be me being removed from the situation and not being competitive, but you know, it is what it is. Like, I mean, if you can go out and get better players to get a better chance at winning a national championship, because last year we were close. I mean, we were a couple plays away from winning a national title, and that's something where, why can't we do it this year? Me and Nevada both agree that this year's team is going to be better. I think defensively we're going to be better. I think that, you know, we've got a lot of talent up front that was kind of caught at a logjam with guys behind, you know, in front of them that weren't as good, but that Larry Johnson just was kind of forced to play because he likes to play seniority. You know, he likes to play the seniority card with his defensive line rotation. But yeah, the Jaden Davis thing is probably the weirdest thing I've ever seen in recruiting. And I've seen some weird stuff, but it's like when you have a kid that like loves Ohio State, is an Ohio State lean, and Dylan Raiola just comes out of left field, a kid that's, you know, no real relationships to Ohio State, you know, grew up in Detroit. Then they lived in Georgia. Then they lived in Texas and lived in Arizona. There's a rumor that he's going to transfer to Bosco out in California. So that could easily happen in the next couple months, and he could be the quarterback at Bosco, who just won the national championship. But I, you know, Jaden Davis was like a really, really good player. Like, if we got him, you know, you're celebrating 4.5-star, 5-star type talent. And, you know, Dylan comes in and, you know, he's all Buckeye and, you know, I give you my word and I'm going to lead this class. And then all of a sudden it was like pull the ripcord and jump out, hit the ejector seat. And it was weird. And the way that they did Jaden Davis was, it was just strange, because he's a kid that, you know, he's a really nice kid. And to basically have him have to cancel his travel reservations, hey, don't show up because the Raiolas are showing up and we're going to take his commitment instead of yours. Like, because I think that the biggest reason the Raiola showed up for the spring game is because they wanted to lock in their spot. They wanted to, you know, silently commit to Ohio State, lock in, you know, because we only take one quarterback generally, you know. But if you're messing with a Dylan Raiola, you can't do the, oh, we have Jack Miller and then we're going to add CJ Stroud at the 11th hour like Ryan likes to do. You know, if you do that with Dylan, he's going to decommit, which he decommitted anyways. But you know, it's just such a funny thing, the quarterback recruiting and how temperamental these kids are. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Nevada, if Ohio State and Ryan Day do smooth it over with Jaden Davis, how good of a recruiting job is that by him and Corey Dennis?
Well, it's a great recruiting job, but I want to go back to something you were saying before. And again, I say this completely lovingly, because there's nobody that I have more respect for on getting information than you. Because we do this stuff every day, all day for a living. But I think the stuff about Drake May is ridiculous, because he wouldn't even have been on campus. He would have cleaned out the quarterback room. He would have actually made it easier for Dylan Raiola to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State. So I don't know how that would have had any impact with him. But I completely respect that that's your viewpoint on it. So I want to say that completely with love and with respect. But I think trying to figure out why. I think that Raiola thing was a lot more complicated than we want to, because it went hot and heavy, and then it went to nothing really, really fast. And I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a correlation between that and the flirtations with Drake May, but I'm not sure it was a causation. But I'm not sure we'll ever know. So it'll be one of those things that you and I can debate back and forth when we're old, or I should say older, and we can debate the great Dylan Raiola debate. But yeah, to your point about the situation at hand, yeah, if they can land him after rebuffing him, it's a great recruiting job. And if they can't, then you know you got to get onto somebody else in 2024 because, you know, as you said, you're going to have a quarterback derby this year. Somebody's going to win, and then you got to watch the other guys in the room and watch them bolt because everybody's going to want to start in that quarterback room. The days of having three or four viable candidates in the room are probably gone, and depth is an illusion. So it's a huge challenge for any head coach in 2023, but certainly for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, Doge Day, if you just joined, I love these. Like you said, you're really going to make me go read 11 words. No, man, we got Victor Cutler, tackle from ULM Warhawks. We literally spent the first 20 minutes of the show on him. So when this is done, or if you want to rewind, we broke down some of his film. Nice player. He'll be a good depth piece. Could potentially be a starter, one of the top five. But I would say he's probably definitely in the top seven the second he gets here. Because I think Zen's probably ahead of him, but you can kind of move him around a little bit. But yeah, I think with Ryan, you know, in the Drake May thing, I think it's real. I think it happened. I think that, you know, when you've got Marvin and Emeka and you can go out and get the number one rated quarterback in the country for the 2024 draft, like you do it. And I think that when it went down and Mac Brown was ticked off, and then, you know, who does he know that was in Carolina with him? That was the coach of the Panthers, Matt Rhule. You know, then Matt Rhule, who's his tight ends coach. Or excuse me, line coach. It's Rayola's uncle, you know. So again, like this isn't like, I know this is like tinfoil hat stuff, but I don't think it is, man. Because like something changed to make it go from all I wear is Ohio State stuff, and my word is my bond, and go Bucks, and the brotherhood, and all this other trash garbage, you know, that they spew. Like, oh, you know, we're Buckeyes for life, and and then like. It's like in one instant, like, you know, 'cause again, I was sitting there, it was a late night. He changes all the Twitter stuff. And, you know, our site, BuckeyeScoop.com, we have very astute readers and very astute subscribers that notice literally everything. And people go crazy. Like, he just took off all of his Ohio State stuff. He took off the photo of him in his Ohio State jersey. He took off unfollowed everybody, like, whatever. And I'm just like, maybe it isn't anything, but it probably is something. I've seen this movie before. This isn't my first rodeo. And again, like, you know, I can't imagine if I'm a high-end quarterback like he is, and you know that Innocent Tater here and J.J. Smith, who is the number two player in the entire country behind you, is committed to Ohio State, and he's locked into Ohio State. Like, it would have to be something just absolutely crazy to lose that infrastructure, on top of the fact that Ryan Day is, you know, the quarterback guru. You got Brian Hartline's the new OC, so we're going to be throwing the absolute crap out of the ball for basically every game. So I something really, really bad had to happen. It's not like just some random, you know, I don't know. But again, like when I got that Drake May tip, and again, you know, I don't like running with stuff like that just because I'm like, yeah, right. But, you know, you got to remember the spot we were in after Michigan. You'll forget the Georgia game. Remember where the heat was, the fan base was after we got waxed at home by Michigan. Ryan Day was catching a lot of heat. There are a lot of these local media guys that are morons that were saying, oh, we need to go get Mike Vrabel. We got to go get Fickell. We got to go get John Cooper. We got to go get somebody other than Ryan Day. Yeah. You know, and then, like, you know, he goes out and they have a really tough, gritty performance versus, you know, the two-time national champion Georgia Bulldogs, and it kind of quieted the storm. But between that Michigan game and the kickoff of that Georgia game, man, it was, I mean, Ryan Day was, I mean, he was up against it, man. He was getting beat down pretty hard. And, you know, like, again, if you're Ryan Day and you're looking at the prospect of potentially losing three straight to Michigan, we got to go up to Ann Arbor. They want their whole team back, basically. And you could go out and get, you know, the best quarterback in the country to throw to Marvin Emeka instead of, you know, two unknowns and Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. I just don't see why you don't explore that. I mean, I would.
Yeah, but Kirk, here's the thing. Like, I don't think anybody's questioning that that happened. The question is, what would the impact be on a player that's not even going to hit campus till 2024 of getting a guy in 2023 who's going to be the number one pick of the draft and gone? So I think we're kind of conflating two issues. I mean, I think in the era of NIL, so many things could have happened with Raiola to turn him from Bobby Buckeye to whatever. To Bobby Bulldog. Or maybe he flipped on the tape. Maybe he flipped on Devin Brown's tape and looked at him and it's like, man, I got shut out in the state championship game this year. I'm not as good as Devin Brown. I'm probably going to be sitting for there. I probably need to find another place to go. So I don't know. It's definitely a weird one, definitely one for the books. And, like I said, I wish, Dylan Wells, he can go wherever he wants. And I'm sure we'll be just fine. And, like I said, we'll see if Jaden Davis accepts the challenge. If Jaden Davis accepts the challenge, he's putting we used to say we only want guys that really want to be Buckeyes. Well, Jaden Davis would have to really want to be a Buckeye to accept this after what happened to him. So I'm rooting for him for sure.
Yeah, I think honestly, for me with the Raiolas and just what I know, it was probably more that like in my head, they're thinking like, are you going to do this to us? If Dylan stinks it up the first year, are you going to go hit the portal and go get whoever the best quarterback or a top three quarterback in the country? Because again, Ryan, the thing about Ryan is, this is why if there's one thing, if you're an Ohio State fan, if there's one thing you should take from the show that Nevada and I do every night, we love doing this with you guys. You should never worry about the quarterback situation with Ryan Day. Because if there's one thing that I don't care about, it's who's playing quarterback. Because whoever it is, it's probably going to be first team All Big Ten. We've literally done that 10 straight years since 2012, since Braxton Miller in 12. We've had the first team All Big Ten quarterback every year. So Kyle McCord or Devin Brown, they might as well put his name on the plaque now. But, Ryan is always going to be looking to upgrade that room. Always. Like he went after Malik Willis, who got drafted by the Titans last year when CJ, when we had the four fresh and we had CJ McCord, Miller, Ewers, we had all those guys in the room together. That spring, he was going after Malik Willis because Malik was, a guy that a lot of people had as a first-round pick. Now, obviously, he's stunk it up in the NFL, and he was a third-round pick. But going into that last year, people thought he'd be a first-round pick. So Ryan Day he went after him a little bit, through the back channels. And I just think that, with Ryan, if I'm the Raiolas and I'm like, well, you said that you weren't going to take a showstopper in 2023, 24, you get Dylan, the table's kind of set for him to start as a freshman, he's advanced, blah, 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 whatever. Like, say Dylan goes out there and stinks it up. I mean, there's been a lot of number one overall quarterbacks that have stunk. I mean, let's just be real. They're not all Matt Stafford. They're not all Trevor Lawrence. Like, there's a lot of these guys that get out there and the game's a little bit faster. They're not as good, whatever. Would they be worried about Ryan Day poking around the portal and going out and getting the number one quarterback in the country or going out and getting like Notre Dame goes and gets the kid from Wake Forest, who's a really good player. And it's like, would that kid have came to Ohio State this year if we had offered him? Probably. I mean, if my kid was a good quarterback and Ohio State offered him and they have Emeka and Marvin, like, I'm like, yeah, you're going there. You're going to go through to the two best receivers in the country. Your life is going to be on easy street. I think it's more that obviously than anything. Like, I think because I think that like they were big on trust. And again, I'm not saying Ryan did anything wrong. Again, I actually really liked that Ryan did that. When I heard that, I was like, that's fantastic. I'm like, great. Cause I don't want guys to be comfortable and relaxed and, oh, I've got my spot and everything's easy peasy, whatever. Like, I want to continually enhance and upgrade the roster, especially quarterback. Cause with the way we're recruiting receivers and the amount of talent we have at receiver, that should be the most exciting position in the world to see if Ryan Day is going to go after a portal guy, because dude, you're basically the kingmaker at this point. You've put Dwayne Haskins into the league, Justin Fields in the league, CJ Stroud's gonna be the top five pick. So I would just be like, hey, look, do you want to be our next first round quarterback or do you want to go somewhere else? Or do you want to stay where you're at? So,
if the Raiolas were dumb enough to believe that they could send their kid out there and he could not be great, and that Ryan Day or anybody would stick with him through his suckiness, then I'm really glad that they left him, went somewhere else, because I think that's baked into the cake. I think the bottom line is you're going to get an opportunity at Ohio State, but if you're not good enough, you're going to get recruited over You're going to get portaled over. You're going to get transferred over. You're going to get something over. But you just got to know that. And that goes for, you know, every position, every player, every sport, men's, women's, whatever. You know, if you're not good enough, they're going to go somewhere else and get somebody who's better than you are. So I would hope that they were smart enough to figure that out before they started the recruiting process. But maybe that was a revelation to them.
Yeah. And again, some people are more sensitive than others. And I'm not saying they're sensitive, but it's like, you got to know when you're dealing with a guy like Ryan, who's a quarterback guru, he's not going to put up with much at the quarterback position. Like you're going to get it right, and you're going to do it right, or else he's going to go find somebody that does. Because again, he's from that NFL background, man. Those guys, they're always looking to improve the team, improve the unit. And I think that he's, like I said, when I heard that he did that, I was like, God, I love it. Kudos to you, Ryan Day. That's awesome. Because like, again, imagine like just from our life, like we run BuckeyesCube.com. If Ohio State would have gotten Drake May in the portal, like our site would have probably broken because there would have been so many people so excited about getting that. Getting in. If kids transfer out, then that's just part of big boy football now, man. And like, again, I don't know. But again, like everyone that's like worried about, you know, we lose CJ Stroud, and I'm like, well, we lost Dwayne Haskins and everybody thought we were going to collapse. And then, you know, we lose Justin Fields and everybody thought we were going to collapse. And then we lose CJ and we'll be just fine. You know, I mean, I think Kyle or Devin, you know, with the infrastructure we have in place, we're going to be a top five passing attack easily. Probably. I mean, if we're not number one, it'll be an upset, but you know, you got to look at our receivers. We literally have what is in Nevada? Would you look up 97% of our production back? We lost like Jackson Smith and Jigba's five catches, I think. And Mitch Rossi had like one catch maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 99% of our receiving production and 97% of our rushing production. So it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like I just love the amount of talent we have back, our running backs. And we'll be fine on the O-line. Everybody wants to worry about the O-line with Paris and DeJuan and those guys. But, guys, like, you know, we can gin it up on the O-line. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game with Jackson Carmen starting at left tackle and two guys on the right side that were practice squatters because – they got injuries. I mean, so, you know, when you're a line coach, you got to be ready for your best players to get hurt or leave or whatever. And you got to figure out a way to gin it up and still get it done. You know, I mean, the Bengals got to go to, they got to go to Buffalo, probably the best pass rush in the NFL. And they got to figure out a way to protect Jackson Carmen. So, I mean, we can do that on the O-line. If we have Zen at left tackle or Donnie or Victor Cutler, the new kid. And I think we'll be in good shape. Nevada, I'm excited. We got the Victor Cutler on. I put a little bit more of his tape on, but I really like this kid. I think he's going to be a nice add to us. Were you surprised that we were able to finally get a portal offensive lineman? Because it seemed like we were 0 for about 20 so far, and then we get this kid, and all of a sudden it was just, you know, it was like pandemonium almost.
Yeah, no, I think we were due. I mean, Ohio State's been casting a wider net in the transfer portal than ever before, and you know quietly, I think what have we added, like a long snapper, a kicker, you know, the walk on kicker, the safety Jahad Carter, you know, lineman. So I think, you know, we're due. I think we're just kind of getting our sea legs when it comes to the transfer portal, and I think Dave's, you know, really cognizant of not wanting to upset the, you know, the rooms and not try to, you know, just, you know, make transfer portals for the sake of doing them. But, you know, when you've got guys, you have a chance to upgrade, you're going to do it. You're going to take a chance. I'm frankly surprised it hadn't happened before. So I think we were due.
Put some Jahad Carter on since you mentioned him. We hadn't watched him in a little bit. This is his high school tape. Syracuse stuff we can't use, but this is, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do. I think that, you know, with him, Lathan, Sonny, Kai, I think that we're going to be more athletic back there potentially. You know, I thought Ronnie started off really hot and played fantastic, and then he kind of dwindled towards the end. So it'll be exciting to get some new blood back there. Like I just love Kai Stokes. I think Kai Stokes could be a guy that can really get after it pretty hardcore back there. And again, like, we just need some guys that can be impact guys. I mean, I know you love Sonny Styles. I mean, Sonny Styles is probably the best athlete on the entire team, and it's his time. I mean, we're going to have him for 3 years and he's going to be out. So the clock is ticking to get as much out of Sonny as you can over the next 2 years before he declares, and that's pretty much a done deal. So, any questions, guys? I'm just checking. I love this. Is great. David Fettel. Yeah, that's the hard part, David. He said that Cutler has shrunk. He started off at 6'4", now he's 6'3". Yeah, there's this thing called a tape measure that strength coaches like to bring out to verify the height. And I actually shrunk when I was at Ohio State, too, because I used to make myself taller so that I would be taller on NCAA football. Like on NCAA 07, I was like 6'7". So I was like, I want to be bigger on the video game. So I used to lie and say I was 6'7". And in reality, I'm 6'5". But it just is like one of those funny things where they used to say, how much you weigh and how tall are you? And you just write it in. And you know, then Mickey Murati actually brings out the tape measure and measures these guys. So guys do shrink. It's just like when they go to the NFL combine and they make you stand against the wall on your back heels and see what your actual height is. So it's always exciting to see how many guys actually are the real height and how many of them are actually liars. So I think if there's one thing that most men lie about, it's their actual height. Cause I think a lot of guys have never been measured, you know, in terms of their height before. Like, I don't think I'd ever actually been formally measured like at the NFL combine, where you literally take your shoes off, you put your back heels against the wall, they make you stand up on your heels so like the front part of your foot isn't touching the ground, and they tape measure you. So it was like I was like 6'4 and 3/8, so I say I'm 6'5, so I'm gonna lie about that. But yeah, he shrunk. So, but he's got good feet. I mean, again, we won a national championship with Rob Sims playing left tackle, and Rob is barely 6'3", barely. And that was playing the Miami Hurricanes, you know, one of the greatest teams in college football history, one of the greatest, you know, the greatest 2 year stretch in college football history. So, you know, like if you're 6'3 and can move your feet, you can hang in there at tackle. It's not optimal. Optimal is Paris Johnson, but there's just not a lot of Paris Johnsons walking around on earth. I don't think we've had a Paris Johnson since Orlando Pace. And I personally think Paris is a better athlete than Orlando. He's not as big or as strong or as nasty as Orlando, but Paris is a leaner, better athlete than Orlando. Nevada, any thoughts on our shrinking offensive lineman?
Did you just say that there was a player that was a better athlete than Orlando Pace? Is that was your take there? I mean, Kirk, these are some steaming hot takes that you're just dropping here today, man. I
didn't want to let Paris go. Paris is like 310 pounds. Like, look at their body types. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh! Wow, Orlando, if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, I'd like to apologize to you on behalf of Buckeye Nation for the blasphemy that Mr.
The
Barton
blasphemy
just,
that is Barton.
That is Barton.
Now, I didn't say he's a better player. He's not even close to as good of a player as Orlando Pace was. And Orlando Pace was a Heisman finalist. You know, Paris was an All-American. There's a big difference between, you know, a second ballot Hall of Famer and a Heisman finalist than what Paris was, but. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Paris tests, because Paris physically is much leaner than Orlando was. Orlando was much heavier and bigger. They're both about 6'7". But you know, Orlando is like twice as wide as Paris. Like if you stand next to Orlando, it's like standing next to like a semi truck trailer. You know, Paris is much leaner, much more narrow. So I would imagine that Paris can probably jump higher and run faster than Orlando. Now, I could be dead wrong, you know, but they're both 20-year-olds. They're both going to have combine tests, so it'll be interesting, you know, because again, Paris is, you know, it's more because he's probably 20 pounds heavier, at least, maybe, or lighter. Paris is probably going to be like 310, I'd imagine. Orlando was, you know, 325, 330. But again, I could be dead wrong. Like, it'll be interesting to compare the combine measurements between the two, because
your take that Orlando Pace sucked. Man, that is like a
second. Oh yeah, strong. I said Orlando. I said the greatest player in Ohio State history sucked.
That needs to be in the title of this video.
Orlando Pace. Blast Orlando Pace. Orlando Pace. No, I said. I mean, the take that Paris Johnson might be a better athlete than Orlando Pace isn't. That's not that hot of a take. Okay. Now, if I said Paris Johnson is a better player than Orlando, that'd be a steaming hot take. But
please, somebody put this on Twitter right now. Let's see how this thing trends. Let's see how this thing gets raised. Barton's going to get ratioed by the Twitterverse is going to attack him.
Orlando was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He should have been, but he was a second. He went in the second year. Yeah, I mean, Orlando was a much better player than Paris, like much better. I mean, Orlando was literally the number one pick in the draft, and it was a shoe-in. So it's like, they're not the same level of player. Orlando is like a, He literally made the all century team. He was like one of the two best tackles that ever lived. You know, he was one of the two tackles on the all century team. So Paris is like, Paris is the best tackle we've had since Orlando. And again, the only reason I can say he'd be is because he's lighter. You know, if you're lighter, sometimes you can be a better athlete, you know, and he's leaner. Like Paris, you know, again, like strength and conditioning and supplements and all that. I mean, all these guys that are coming out, they're all leaner, faster, bigger, whatever. So it's like, that's not like a crazy hot take. And again, the combine will be here in a few, and we'll be able to look at the measurements of both pro days. And either I'm crazy and Paris will stink it up, or Paris will run really fast and he'll be kind of what I project. Cause I think Paris is a superb athlete, but again, he's not anywhere near as good as Orlando was. He's not as physical in the running game, not anywhere near. And he's not as good of a pass blocker either. But you know, there's guys that can be good athletes, but they're not as good of players. Like that's just part of evaluating, but he's nowhere near the level that Orlando Pace was. Orlando Pace is the best player in Ohio State history, better than Archie, better than Chick Harley, better than Vic Janowitz or whoever. It's just, he just happened to play tackle, so he didn't win a Heisman. But you know, but it'll be interesting to see how they test, because that'll be interesting, because I think Paris could run a really quick time, because he's just a big lean kid, you know, and a lot of these guys they're not built like PJ is, so it'll be interesting. Yeah, those are my steaming hot take. The pancake was named after Orlando. The title, there you go. Troy, just here you go, Ken. The title of this will be Orlando Who. There you go. That's what we'll do. That's what I'll do. It'll be my steaming hot take. Orlando Who.
Man, the Orlando slander on tonight, man. I had no idea that this was going to end up.
I know. I see. Sometimes you never know when this thing starts off, man. It's like, you know. But I think. But it's more because I just think Paris is a really good athlete. It's not slander against Orlando, but you know, Paris, it'll be interesting. Like I said, I'd love to compare their combines. Again, combine measurements are almost worthless, because Orlando Brown Jr. had the worst combine in the history of the combine, and he literally is a 4-time Pro Bowler, and he signed like an $80 million extension with the Chiefs. So it's like, I mean, his metrics said that he couldn't play football in junior high school because he was so slow and fat and doughy, and magically he could pass block, and he's 6'8", so he's, you know, he's Pat Mahomes' left tackle, and you know, he could win a Super Bowl this year potentially. So but it'll be interesting. This is some more Jahad Carter film playing receiver, which is some movement skill stuff. Good.
Back to Cutler. I mean, everything I'm hearing and seeing is, I mean, he's got to be an interior guy. You think there's really any chance he starts at a tackle position?
It depends on what Justin wants to do with Donnie or Zen. You know, if Zen can hang in there and play left tackle, I think ideally you play Zen at left, Donnie at left guard, Matt at center, Enoch or Victor at right guard, and then Josh Fryer at right tackle. But, you know, you got to have some competition, because, again, like what it all comes down to play for Ryan Day is he has to be able to pass block. And, you know, Victor Cutler, again, we watched kind of his highlight reel, so he showed us his best plays, which were nice, but you know, we didn't watch full game tape. We didn't watch, you know, how does he do against Will Anderson every play. So, I mean, ideally when a guy's 6'3", you're putting him in at guard, you know, but when you're at Louisiana Monroe and he's your, you know, your best athlete, you put him at left tackle and you kind of wing it. I mean, ideally you never want a tackle to be that short, but it just depends on who's the best pass protector, you know? Cause again, if you want to play for Ryan Day, if you want to play in the NFL, pass protection is literally everything. You know, if you got 100 attribute points, you put them all into pass blocking, put nothing into run blocking, because no one cares if you can run block. Pass blocking is everything. So it just depends on which left tackle can hold the edge the best. I mean, that's what's going to be exciting, is, you know, when Donnie's out there and Zen and Victor, Josh Fryer, and you mix these tackles around at left and right tackle, who's the best one? That's why I keep saying I'd put Donnie at left tackle and just live with it, because he's our best lineman. But the hard part is if you do that, if Zen is somehow in your top five, he can't really play guard. He's too tall, or it would be a much tougher move for him to play guard. It's kind of like when we forced Paris to play right guard, and we did it because he was the best athlete in the room, and you can't have that guy sit and watch because you want to play Matt Jones at right guard. You know, Matt Jones, very nice player, but he's on year six. Paris is going to be 3 and out in the top 10 pick. So you can't have the top 10 pick sitting and watching Matt Jones or Josh Fryer play right guard last year. So, and Paris, you know, he struggled, but he's a 6'7" guy and he never played guard in his life. So, you know, this isn't Madden. These guys are going to have some growing pains at some point. So, but he did well. He was second team All Big Ten. Then he shifted over to left tackle and he made first team All American consensus. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I think you have to really work and figure out the combinations. Like that's part of the intriguing stuff when you go through winter workouts and you go through skill development and you go through the spring conditioning and spring workouts is you got to see who works the best together. You know, this kid, you know, Victor, the one thing he's got to do is he's got to learn the playbook. So, you know, he's going to have to learn the offense, which again, I don't think it won't be super difficult, but you know, obviously Zen and Don are way ahead because they've been in the system for multiple years. This will be year three for Zen. So, I mean, those guys know the playbook like the back of their hand by now. So it'll be interesting. I'm just excited to see what the kid can do. Again, if someone breaks a shoelace, if Josh Fryer breaks a shoelace or Zen breaks a shoelace, then what? Then all of a sudden who goes in at left tackle? Do you switch Donnie out? Do you put Victor in? Like, you know, when you're an offensive line coach, when you have your five offensive linemen, you kind of have like a mental thought of, okay, if my left tackle gets hurt, who goes where, who goes in? If my left guard gets hurt, if my center gets hurt, you know, Jacob James comes in, whatever, or is Jacob James your starting center and you move Matt Jones from right guard to center? You kind of do all these exercises to see what your line looks like if each individual guy gets hurt. So that's the good thing about Victor is he's played both guards and both tackles, so he can kind of fill in anywhere. But, you know, he's got to get here and prove that he fits in the room with the culture of the room and he can learn the playbook. So it'll be really interesting to see how he meshes. But again, he's just a good depth piece. This guy's got 20 starts in college football. You know, when you look at our room, you know, Donnie's got, you know, his, you know, 12, 13, 14, whatever he made this year. Zen has none. Matt Jones has had a handful over the years. Plus, you know, he started most of this year. And then after that, Josh Fryer has one and Enoch has one. So, you know, this guy has more starts than, you know, about half the room, you know, or like if you add up all the starts in the room, he's got about, you know, 22, and Donnie and Matt probably, if you combine them, they might be mid-20s. But other than that, you have a couple guys that have a single game started. So you just added a lot of experience to the room. And even if it's not Ohio State starts or Georgia starts or Bama starts, there's still starts in college football. So those count for something. So, well, Nevada, this has been a good episode. We went into a lot of stuff today. Your thoughts as we wrap this thing up. Appreciate you guys as always being in here.
Well, just I think it, you know, the offensive line stuff is going to be fun because, you know, we haven't even talked about guys like Tegra, who was one of the first guys that, you know, was off the bench last year, one of the first, you know, people to get out there, and when, you know, people thought it would be years before he saw the you know, the field. And, you know, I think we're going to have some names emerge from deep in the bowels of the offensive line room that we're not even discussing that much that come out and be dudes. Cause what I'm hearing is we have a lot of dudes in that room. Yeah. Certainly there's one or two guys that I think there's probably a general consideration that can't play. But other than that, I think everybody else in that room is kind of on the can play, just needs the opportunity thing. So, I think we're going to be talking about names that we haven't even discussed today, you know, in the near future. And that's all going to be revealed in spring ball. And I can't wait to see it.
Oh, here's a great question. I'm going to have you end on this one. Better athlete, Justin Fields or Terrell Pryor?
Terrell Pryor.
I agree. Terrell's probably the best athlete that's ever played at Ohio State.
Other than Torrance Gibson. Yeah, I'd go with
Torrance. Terrell Pryor. Torrance is good, man.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor was a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL on top of being a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I think in today's NFL, you know, he played during a time, even though that was relatively recent past, when running quarterbacks really weren't in vogue. And now, you know, a big, strong, sturdy guy like that can run and pass, teams would build their offense around a guy like that. I just think he missed the window.
Man, is that true? I mean, can you imagine if he played in like modern college football, if he played for Lincoln Riley or one of those guys that did the spread stuff with Terrell? Oh my God, it'd be impossible to defend against. Really? I mean, if he would have played for Urban, I mean, Urban would have been the match made in heaven, because you run read option with Terrell, man. And that, you get that guy out on the edge, it'd be a nightmare. You know, that guy carried us. I mean, in 2010, you know, I know we lost to Wisconsin up at Camp Randall. That was our only loss, but I just never, he was such a gamer. I mean, that kid was never not on, especially that year, his junior year. I mean, he was special, you know, and again, a lot of people don't like the kid. I liked him. I thought he was great. So, yeah, but we'll wrap this thing up. The basketball game is getting rolling. Oh, you started. I love Dave Rice. Says he, Nevada booked a cage match between Orlando Pace and Kirk. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, this Orlando, I apologize.
I apologize.
Really, I apologize. Please, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. I'm just looking at the combine measurables. That's all I want to look at. I mean, and that might not even determine how good of an athlete that Paris is. What's up, Paul? Appreciate you, my man. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I know the hoops game.
I'm going to say right now that Orlando could play Paris Johnson in one-on-one basketball, and I'm betting on Orlando even right now at his age. I think Orlando takes him.
Probably could. I mean, he was a good basketball player at Sandusky,
He was a really good basketball player.
Yeah. He was a big dude, man. I couldn't imagine guarding him in the post. That'd be a miserable experience. Absolutely miserable. Yeah, it's interesting. Best athletes you've seen, Cat Samorian Pryor. That's pretty good, Dave. I like that. Big Cat was a freak, man. For as big as he was, that dude could have run. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this in. Appreciate you guys as always. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, we love doing this. We love taking your questions. Fantastic questions tonight. Thank you guys so much. We're going to be on BuckeyeScoop.com all night. We're going to be having a game thread on the basketball game, talking about our newest offensive line recruit, just working away into the night. Every day there's some new stuff popping off, a lot of recruiting stuff, coaches on the road. So we're breaking all that down, what it means, who they're seeing. Really good stuff. So we appreciate you guys as always. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. If you guys aren't members of BuckeyeScoop.com, it's the number one place for Ohio State fans, inside information. We've got great, great people on there. It's a great community. People are really, really sharp. It's a fun place to be. It's a perfect sidekick for you and your Ohio State fandom because you can check it on your phone from anywhere. You can be watching the basketball game, seeing what's going on in Ohio State football, talking about the basketball game with a lot of like-minded, really sharp, smart fans. I think you guys would love it. If you haven't been a part of an Ohio State community, this is the one. Give us a try. It is a blast. And once you try it, man, our retention rate is really high because people just love being on there. So cheaper than Netflix and 10 times more entertaining. You guys would like it. So if you enjoyed this content, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, also on Spotify. Thank you guys so much. Leave us a review. 5 stars. Appreciate you guys. If you hit that like button on your way out, that would be huge. Those do huge work for us to promote these videos, help people find it. They really help them grow. So thank you guys for that. Click subscribe and also share this content with your friends. We appreciate you guys so much. Put on your Facebook page. Again, this thing's growing like crazy. It's all because of you guys. So thank you guys so much. We hope you guys have a great night. I will be on BuckeyeScoop.com all night long as I watch this basketball game. Hope you guys have a great rest of your night. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be some more crazy stuff going on. We'll have some recruiting updates, break down some more film, and talk football at Ohio State. With Ohio State football, it just never sleeps. With the portal, it never sleeps. Spring ball is coming up. The second signing day is coming up. So I think you guys are in for a treat because there's a lot of activity going on. So thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thank you, Buckeye Nation. Thank you, Scoop family. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Go Bucks.